Your word with clarity in our hearts, no error here. Rather, what we see is your son. As we see your name, we live here better than we came in. You are glorified. We are edified. Amen. All right, have your seat. So this morning, we just wrap up the teaching we started last 3 weeks. So we started something last 3 weeks, the gospel according to Jesus. And so this morning, we see how we can wrap up that. And look at how we merge everything together. So salvation through faith in Christ. We just see how we do everything. So if you pay attention this morning, is that clear? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Is there? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Again, Paul writes to his son in the faith, and verse 15 says, and that from the child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. Of course, according to my tradition, you know, you open your Bible. That's the only thing that can make us fight in the service. Open your Bible. Verse 15 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work, or unto all good works. I charge thee before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will no longer, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they will eat to themselves teachers, having itchy ears. Paul explains to Timothy that in the midst of false doctrine, we looked at that last week, that the background of this was actually that some people were preaching something else. You know, and he now, he related them to Jambres and Janes. James and Jambres, which you find in Exodus 7:11 to Exodus 9:11. They were the magicians of Egypt. The one that Aaron cast his rod, they said, what are you doing? Child's play. A little child in Egypt can do this. And so they put there. But the lesson there that was actually that they opposed Moses. That makes sense. They opposed God's plan for his people. So he says there will be people who will creep into churches. And what they will do is that they will oppose God's plan for his church. He recalled them earlier in chapter 3, verse from verse 4 to 7, you will see that. From verse 2 down to 7, you see their attitude. Traitors, you know, call them proud. He says they will creep into the churches. Then he now tells Timothy in chapter 4 that your own attitude will be to endure sound doctrine. The word sound is the word gynos. That is LD, HUGAINOS. When you say something is sound, when you say you have sound health, that means LD. You are old. That makes sense? That makes sense? And so it says, a time will come when men will no longer endure that sound doctrine. So, it means that the doctrine that is healthy is not necessarily sweet. I know many times we just want someone to massage our ego, stroke our heads and say, oh, you know what, you're just forgiven. True, you're forgiven. But, what about sound doctrine sometimes may not be sweet to you. Sometimes might not be palatable. Sometimes it's not even what you want to hear. But you know, the gospel does not celebrate you. The word of God does not celebrate you. It celebrates Christ. Hallelujah. What the gospel should do to you is to correct you. Alright, so, he says, sound doctrine will be what? Look at verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. He says, you preach the word, be instant in season. Of course, the word there will be sound doctrine, right? Preach the sound doctrine. Be instant in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And so, sound doctrine will include reproof and rebuke. Now, I said last week that whatever teaching you hear every time, and you observe that in the preacher that every time he teaches, every time, you really get excited. Something is wrong. I'm not saying you should cry. I remember we used to cry. You cry. After you think about you, no? Or by Popo. I expect you are crying in service now. You know, you know? Hallelujah. So, you think that right? But
I'm saying there are times when you hear God's word, and the only thing you do is look at your life, and you want to make some changes, right? Right? Yeah. Any doctrine that just gets you to jump every time, something is wrong. For example, in this church, you see times that we are rejoicing. Come for retreat. You most likely will not rejoice in the last session. Where is the joy going to come from? After your soul has been up, in and out, and you are returned back to your ships. Something like that. Verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their what? After their own lust, they shall eat to themselves teachers, having itching ears. He says, after their own lust, that word lust is the word desire, epithumia, E-P-I-T-H-U-M-I-A, E-P-I-T-H-U-M-I-A. He says, they will eat after their own lust. They now eat teachers. To eat means to seek. And so, eating teachers, seeking one who will massage your back, is a game to nowhere. It ends nowhere. And so they will seek teachers after their own desires. That is a trait of everyone who is going to be a first student of the gospel or a first teacher. The moment you are looking for the first, you know, that he listens to me on the things of the spirit. He said he listens to so person on salvation. He listens to so person on marriage and marital affairs. He listens to so person on ministry. I wonder what ministry is apart from salvation and the things of the spirit. I just mentioned. It's a ministry. He said he listens to so person on evangelism. You are just going to get lost at the end. The coat of many colors was eventually torn. Hallelujah. You know, they will seek teachers after their own desires. He says, having itching ears. Now look at that word itching. Kleto. It means to tickle. You know when you tickle someone? Have you seen someone that tickling before and is crying? Eh? Come on. You know that tickle. Have you seen someone trying to form Adman? The Adman, the tickle is small. You go away wire. So if you say you should tickle you now, you say. You know, tickle, when you tickle someone, it doesn't bring tears. Laughter, right? Relaxation. And so he says, they will eat up teachers after their own loss, having that itching ear. They want to be tickled. A gospel that you hear that only tickles you every time is not a true gospel. The gospel is good news nevertheless, hallelujah, because it's the message of our eternal life, which we found in Christ. The gospel is a good news because the message of forgiveness of sin, Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, Colossians 2:13, is a message of good news. But there are things to learn from that message. You know, when the gospel is first preached to you, it brings faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing of the gospel. You know, that faith produces salvation, right? In that salvation, you now learn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we're looking at the gospel according to Jesus. I wrote it here, I said, the moment you discover that you love praises and you despise being corrected, something is wrong. You need to fix something here. The moment you saw that when they praise you, you are at home. The moment you're corrected for any little thing, I'm talking about church now, not at your work. Chances are high that they correct you very well at work. That you know what she said, I'm talking about in the local church, for example. Your praise, you say, thank you. Thank you. No, it's my life. Ministry is my life. Thank you. No. I know you should not praise me. You want to praise me. Yeah. You know, you don't need to praise me. No, I'm doing it for the Lord. And then the same person that praised you now says, what are you doing? And you felt somehow the devil is working on you. You don't. Brother Gil said that whenever you feel mistreated, you know that the devil is working on you. Hallelujah. 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 And so, correction is a vital aspect of sound doctrine. Alright, so we've eaten on seen that Jesus came to die for sins. He came to reconcile us to God. That's the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To which God was in Christ. Doing what? To which God was in Christ. Doing what? Reconciling the world to Himself. Catalasso. Bridging the gap. Reconciling the world unto himself and not imputing what? Sins against anyone. 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God, one mediator between God and man. Who is that? The man Jesus, alright? So that's what Jesus came to do.
to reconcile man back to God again. That's the gospel. He came in the volume of the books, nevertheless. He came as a fulfillment of prophecy. And that's what the prophet said he was going to do. He's going to die for sin. He came to die for sin, to be revived again, so man can have life in God. Does that make sense? Alright, so, when you look for a thing, you have to say something vital. Come to Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Please don't be deceived. As I'm quoting all those places, and I'm putting it, open it, so that I don't Google you. Something like that. Luke 4 18. Can we read together? Once you go, the Spirit of God is a problem, eh? Because I have anointed me to what? Okay. So it says the Spirit of God is upon me, is anointed me to what? To preach the gospel. And so, in the earthly ministry of Jesus, we cannot remove the preaching of the gospel. He preached. That's definite. In Matthew 11, when John sent his voice to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah or we should expect another? What did Jesus tell John? You tell John that the gospel, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Right? Right? Matthew 11, 5. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. And so, Jesus preached the gospel. Good news. That's the gospel. It's from Old English. Where you have good. And spell. Spell. S-P-E-L-L. That is a message. Or news. No. Good news. Good spell. Good message. That makes sense? Alright. So, gospel was preached by Jesus. Again, let's settle the fact that would men have gotten born again when Jesus preached? No. No. Would they have been saved? You know, we are going to consider that Daniel prophet indeed. Would they have been saved? So what happened to the Old Testament folks? Abraham and Eli? Possible? But not available. I know that's what I'm saying. What happened to them? Were they saved from the rest of the world? Was there something different about them from the eating? Okay? But did men have the Spirit of God before Jesus died and rose from the dead? No. John 7:39 says the Holy Ghost was only given because Jesus was only glorified. John 7:39. And so they believed God, they believed Jesus, but in the promise you know, just like the Old Testament. So when Jesus preached, the gospel was believed, but in a promissory note. That is, whatever is going to be fulfilled in being born again was going to happen after his resurrection. Does that make sense? The gospel was preached by Jesus. Again, he says, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Someone asks him, must I be poor? You know, yeah, that's reading your mind to the Bible. By saying the poor have the gospel preached unto them, the word poor there is the humble. The humble. Those who recognize that they have spiritual bankruptcy. Or something like that. That's the way John Mark puts it. Spiritual bankruptcy. That's what Jesus used in Beatitude. Matthew 5, 3 and says, blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. So, by saying the poor have the gospel preached to them, he meant that those who recognize that they needed God. That makes sense? Does that make sense? The poor in spirit will be those who recognize that they needed God. That says, yes, is the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Alright. So, again, when you use that word poor, it's in contrast to the riches of this world. It's in contrast to the riches of this world. Remember that church in Macedonia? Laodicea. I say Macedonia. Laodicea. Remember? Remember that teaching? Alright. He said, we are rich. We have no need of anything. Then Jesus himself told them, you are poor, naked, wretched, and you have no one to tell you, like your parents, you see. Oh, you the red mass of the world. Hallelujah. The moment you extol the riches of this world, we should doubt your discipleship of Christ. But that's by the way. So Jesus preached the gospel. Our question will now be, what was the content of the gospel he preached? What was the content of the gospel? Did the apostles also preach the same thing he preached? So I don't see all of that. We are learning of this morning. So again, in first track, second track, we have examined that if you are going to put Jesus' gospel in one phrase, we are going to summarize it in one phrase. What are we going to say? What are you going to say so far?
Follow me. Follow me. Follow us. Lordship, okay? Come. Be disciples of me. And so we are going to summarize Jesus' gospel. The way he preached, we have seen that so far, was that he just told people, follow me. That was told Peter, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. He told Levi the same thing. Let us drop on your hand, follow me. Hallelujah. At the point people who come to him, they ask him, how can I inherit eternal life? He said, go and sell all you have and come to me. That was the rich, sorrowful guy. He said, I have done everything. I have kept the law. He said, go and sell, go and sell all you have. Imagine someone telling the lead, go and sell all you have. You don't have much of, I know. But you go and sell all you have. That small car that you're managing. With the friend inside. Don't with the friend. Sell everything you have. Now he didn't say keep the money. Let's give permission. They give it to the poor. Nigga and the poor. You know? That was the gospel Jesus preached. He preached a gospel of solemnity. And so in his gospel, it is not a gist of no lordship. In fact, Jesus puts his lordship at the forefront. He puts his lordship at the forefront. Being Savior made him Lord. You should know that by now. In our teaching, salvation to faith in Christ, right? Being the soaker, being the Savior, made him the Lord. Lord is someone who owns, someone who possesses. Kurios in the Greek. Someone who possesses something or someone. So, Jesus is Lord. So, can we say it together? Jesus is Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know. That has become a cliche. It has become a slogan. Something you see after an advert. He said, come, come. Are you looking for a husband? Are you looking for a wife? Job, job. Just we don't come to town, you can meet your needs. Your shop go full. And I'm not saying all of that in your advert in church. You say, miracle plenty. Healing, da. Salvation, just salvation. Yes. You can do that in your church. Salvation, da. Miracle is plenty. Jesus is Lord. What is it? How do you going to say that and grab your copy now? Hallelujah. What is everything that Jesus is Lord? And that grab your copy now. Is the same thing. That Jesus is Lord must not become a cliche to us. Again, that is the cornerstone of Christianity. That Jesus is Lord. When he says someone is Lord, it means he is master. That makes sense. He says Lord, he is master. So that I can serve God any how I want. You can't serve God any how you want. The God that you can serve any how you want is not your God. It's your bingo. Yeah, I can just serve you any how I want. If I tell you I want to serve him today, I will serve you. If I say I'm not that was not your Lord. That was your dog. So just to reverse the spelling from D-O-D to D-O-G. That's your dog. The Lord means that he's the one that calls the shots. Hallelujah. He calls the shots. He determines what and when and how and where. And so the gospel is to say Jesus is Lord. We were saved into that lordship. Look at Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Learning something this morning. Now open your Bible. Romans 10 verse 8. We all read together from 8 to 10. Are you there now? Where to go? Oh yeah. What's the end? The word is ready, even in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. That if you what? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So he says, if we confess with our mouth, what we are going to confess? The Lordship of Jesus. And that's salvation. You confess the Lordship of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, he says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And he was talking about getting saved. And so, in salvation, what we confess is actually the Lordship of Jesus. That he is Lord. Look at Romans chapter 14. Let's look at Romans 14, verse 7 together. Just flip your Bible. Verse 7 to 9. Can we read 7 to 9 together? Want to go? Or I'll wait for you. Want to go? For none of us lives unto himself. And no man dies himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are what? We are the Lord's. So, every Christian ought to be a disciple of Christ. Again, that is what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not something that you hear and start jumping about on Dutch Billand Bridge. The Great Commission is actually that Lordship of Christ. You know, in Matthew 28:18, it says, all power is given to me, never and I. Verse 19, that says, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation. And so, when I receive the gospel, I become a disciple of Christ. Not the 12 disciples. A disciple means someone who is learning. Someone who is submitting. That makes sense? Eh? Come on, that makes sense? So, you are submitting to someone. For example, you are learning work. You know, you say learning work. Apprenticeship. You know, the first act of apprenticeship is to submit. I know mechanics. I did mechanics. The difference between the boss and the apprentice is that the boss wears clothes. The apprentice, you must not, you can't wear clothes while you're working. Who are you? That's better. You must open. And so, if you want to know the other, and some of you don't know this, I'll give you a hint. Want to know the other? The other wears that blue coat when he's working. The apprentice, no matter how many clothes you have at home, you will lay there, reveal everything to the world. Hallelujah. To show that you are learning, you are submitting. Hallelujah. Or you are saying the fellowship where someone is learning, and so, because someone brings clothes, then the apprentice is the one giving price. When your guy is sitting on this. And I said, No. You know what the egg that is put it here? No. You allow your boss to talk, right? Come on. Because I've never learned what before. Even if you are in a bank, you go to training school now. I mean, you submit first. Imagine the instructor entering the class. And you say, I need to use myself now. You have to go and eat yourself in your house. I said, I need to go. I need to beat traffic. You have got another job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just start working in your house. A disciple is someone who submits. And so, Jesus' call to us was actually to submit to his lordship. And you hear, follow me. Follow me. So, that follow me is an invitation to salvation. You submit to his lordship. That follow me is an offer of eternal life. But he uses follow me. It means, listen, that the mission and goal of the church is not to have invitees to church. That's not the mission of the church. To have people that are invited. Mm-mm. The goal of the church is to make disciples. People who are now learning Christ. Does that make sense? Eh? Anybody can come to church. The keyboard comes to church. If the keyboard says, but the keyboard doesn't come to church, he lives in church. The drums lives in church. But they are not saved. And so, to be a disciple means to submit. It's a call to following Jesus. So we ought to be true disciples of Christ. Say, I'm a true disciple of Christ. No, I don't hear that loud. Say, I'm a true disciple of Christ. Totally. Yeah. And so, being born again ought to reflect that lordship of Jesus in our lives. Being born again is not fire insurance from hell. If there's something like that. It's not fire insurance. Okay. It's fire insurance in a way. Fire, I'm not talking about ritual fire, please. But it's insurance from being alienated from God, but much more than that. That's actually a call to follow the Lord. That's why when a man receives the gospel, it should be a mix of joy and sobriety. I'll say it again. When a man receives the gospel, when the gospel is properly preached, it should be a mix of what? Joy and what? Sobriety. There's a soberness that comes with it. Joy because you now have eternal life, hallelujah. Being sober because of the life you are now called into. That would be for another day. So something should change about you. I'm not preaching the gospel of works. You think I'm preaching that? I wonder if you know me at all. I'm not preaching that you walk to the same. At this time. But something should change about you. You know, this age and age of milk and honey Christianity. Milk and honey Christianity. Last week, what did I call the Christianity? Lollipop. Today is milk and honey. A gospel that is just in I'm saying, Yeah. Ride them faster, man. Can you? You know, you can't do that one yet. You go out for us. You go out for, you will just excuse us for some time till you get your sanity back. Which one is, Does it mean you are a show? Does it look like a show? Yeah. Go Jesus. Which Jesus? No, we're talking about bad Jesus. Hallelujah. Which Jesus is doing? The gospel ought to affect your conduct. It ought to reflect its reaction. The conduct of the saved must be different from the unregenerate. It must be different. How can you put a Christian and an unbeliever together and we don't see a difference? Your dressing, your manner of conversation, your communication, everything is the same. You look at a Christian and look at his playlist. Whiskey, dad kids. Don't say you don't know. I'll look at it. The video. Stevie, thank you. That's Boshora telling you, Stevie. So you know. Ever for give me one. Olamide, I know. That's the name of my sister. A Christian. When people are doing money devotion, you are doing shafu. You are in shafus. Your conduct is the same like that of the world. The last time you preached, what was the last time you have never preached? And yet you laugh at those who preach. You know, there's something I told you. As someone is preaching the boss, even if he's preaching the wrong gospel, if you have never preached the boss, keep quiet. Don't assume you know a bit out of it. Keep quiet. You have no right to, what do you call it now? Criticize or to critique what you have not done. If you have not done it right, then don't even go close to the person that is doing it at all. I just called someone in the bus one time. We are going together. And the person started preaching in the bus. And he was acting like this to me. You know the person you are doing? Wrong gospel. False gospel. What are these you doing to Christianity? I said, shut up. I know you. The one on your street, you are not finished. Have you ever preached in the bus before? I said, no, I'm planning. You are planning. As someone is doing it, you keep quiet. Hallelujah. You keep quiet. Must have preached in the bus. Must have preached on Malua. Must have preached on Okada. Okada is the easiest one. He can't slap you. He's driving. I tell him every time. You can't do anything to me. You keep driving. Yeah. And you'll be hearing because you can't stop me. The gospel of Okada. If you have not done it before, don't criticize those who do. Your attitude must be different. That's not even what I'm going to say. Because that lordship of Jesus was reflected in your life. And that's why, when you look at all time religion, all time Christianity, you discover that those who get born again, there's this soberness. There's this way they act. That's a holy soberness. That's a holy sobriety. I think that's where deeper life got it from. That's very remarkable. That's soberness. What if there's already been gospel here anymore? You see the same, we are the one, we are the church, we are the church, we are his children. Like that brother. You know that brother? I believe in the name. I believe in your own name. Okay, is that it? We continue to pray. Hallelujah. We are the church. Psalms, it's not. The lordship of Jesus was reflected in your conduct. And that was the way every apostle also taught it. They taught it that we conduct ourselves as true disciples of Christ. You observe that in the epistles, you find the things, T-H-E-M-E-S, not Nigerian thing, the things of servanthood, the things of its lordship, you find it. And look at it through now. Ensure you're not. Hallelujah. So, look at the epistles, you find the things of servanthood. Let's start. You find the words like chosen. Chosen. Ephesians 1. Again, by using the word chosen, that's a theme of slavery. I won't go very deep into that today. A dolos. That's actually a theme of you are bought. Chosen. That means you have no choice. You are chosen. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him. Can you see that? He has chosen on him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Can we do that side together? Having predestinated us again unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. A theme of chosen. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, unto the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and the what? Alright. He says, unto strangers. By using strangers, strangers in pilgrims. You are not of this world. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. Very common, popular. You are a chosen generation. A chosen generation. Also, you find a word like bought. You are bought. Don't say, we are not bought. I don't have a price. You are bought. Say, I'm bought. No, no. I'm priceless. I'm like the approval of that one woman. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You are bought. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Those are Christians talk. Can we together 1 Corinthians 6:20? Want to go? Is love in your Bible? Want to go? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are what? Which are bought. Who are bought with a price. Alright, 1 Corinthians 7:23. You are bought with a price. Be not you the servant of men. You are bought with a price. Again, look at that word chosen. Look at the word bought. Also the word owned. You are owned. We've read that in Romans 14, verse 7 to 9. Look at Titus 2:14. We read that word owned in Romans 14, 7 to 9. But now look at Titus 2. Titus, not the fish. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That he might redeem. That word redeem actually means you are bought. Redeem means, the background of redeem is, you pay a price for something, right? You pay something, and then collect. So that's what Jesus did for us. He collected us from the slave master, from sin. We are bought, we are owned, we are chosen. Also, you find words like subject. Subject. That implies submission. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself, servants obey. The servants ye are whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience of righteousness, verse 17. But God detect that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Be made free from sin. You became what? Servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have given your members servants of uncleanness unto iniquity, unto iniquity. Even so, now yield your members what? Servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Philippians 2. He says, we are now servants of righteousness. Again, that's the way the apostles preach it. Philippians 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being made the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of us. Verse 8. And be found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, let this mind now be in you. What mind? You also now succumb. You are subject. You find words like you are dependent. Philippians 4:19. You are now dependent. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we are dependent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, one of such things that you find in the epistle that we are going to give account for our lives. And there's something I remember every time, it is this one. That one day to come, you see. Every Christian, you give account for your life. That one that you always say is my life now, it's my life. I only live once. In that day, you will know. Hallelujah. YOLO, YOLO. Abi, that day, your life will be YOLO, YOLO. Hallelujah. Yeah, YOLO. You only live once. You will know. I don't know about WF Kumi, he puts it. He said, let everybody live like that now. The one day, everybody will now know. Hallelujah. And he's a judge no man can bribe. Hallelujah. You will find the themes of give account. Romans 14:12. Are you tired of opening the Bible? You haven't even opened much. Romans 14:12. Let's have verse 11. Months ago. For it is written, as I hear the saying of the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. And every tongue, again, is that his worship? Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall what? Give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5. find the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Can we read together one today? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done. Whether it's what?
So this is not a joke. We will appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Hallelujah. So, can we now see how the apostles taught it? Can you read this one from what Jesus taught? Right? They emphasize his lordship. You are chosen. You are bought. You are owned. You are subject. You will give account. That means your life is not your own. That's what Romans 14 verse 7 to 9 say. Your life is not your own. You must live unto him. That's what Paul say. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yes, not I. Galatians 2:20. But the life I now live in the flesh, I live by what? I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died, who gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it's going to be a perfect mistake to think that Paul, James, Peter, they thought otherwise from what Jesus taught. No. The gospel they taught also was following. The gospel is the message of God's grace. Hallelujah. But in that grace, we now see his lordship. Hey, let's take that song again. He is Lord. What's good? He is Lord. Amen. He has breathing. Some of you are concerned about the past. Be careful. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue come. The gist. Let Jesus Christ be Lord. Can you see that? He is Lord. He says, because he has risen from the soul. In his walking in salvation, we now see his lordship. Hallelujah. See the way Paul will put it. Titus 2:11, which we are going to come back to, most assuredly. Titus 2:11. So, in his grace, we now see his lordship. We now see how we ought to act. We now see how we ought to conduct ourselves in this present world. Because there's a world to come. Hallelujah. Such hope. Hallelujah. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings what? Salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that we should deny God. So after teaching the grace of God, he will now teach conduct. He will now teach serving the Lord. You know that was the way Moses also puts it. Eh? Moses in the Old Testament. Let me just give you this. That Moses' writings were systematic. Again, there is two students of scriptures. You listen to me now. Moses' writing was systematic. He started with the Arcane, with Genesis, then went to Exodus, then went to Leviticus. Very, very systematic. Because Genesis is the message of God's grace. Abel, to Noah, to Enoch, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Those are symbols of God's grace to Israel. That's the way God's grace was communicated in the oracles of God. That makes sense. So when you hear Abraham, you see God's grace. Noah, grace. Abel, grace. Genesis was the message of God's grace. It was the book of promise. Genesis 3:15. The book of promise of the Messiah. You see? So, Moses puts that first. Right? Grace, have you? Message of God's grace. Then he now went to the Exodus. What's the Exodus? Our deliverance. Deliverance from Egypt, which will be deliverance from the world, deliverance from sin, right? Deliverance from the devil. Can you see it's systematic? Eh? Then he now went to Leviticus, a book of service. From the Levi, a separated tribe. They will now consecrate themselves in the temple. Does that make sense? Eh? Come on, does that make sense? Ah. I don't understand what I just said now. So, he puts the grace of God, then talks about our deliverance from sin. Then he says, because of this, you will now serve. You will now be his servant. Because he has delivered you from Egypt. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Again, what was Moses' word to Pharaoh? Let my people go. That is my word. Eh? Is that the gospel? Eh? That is, you will be delivered from sin in order to be his servant. Let my people go that they might serve me. And so the gospel is not just let my people go. The gospel is let my people go and they might serve me. Does that make sense? Eh?
So in the gospel, we now see his lordship. Glory to his name.
Hallelujah. So, if he is Lord, then we must live for him. We must live for him. He must become our center focus.
You must ask yourself, who is the center focus in my life?
And the message like this sound archaic. They sound, oh, you say, what is this one saying? As long as you are, you know, this kind of message. Give us something.
I'm giving you. Oh, I'm giving you.
Who is the center focus in your life? Nothing must take its place in our hearts. Nothing. No one. How did Moses say it?
You shall have no other God beside you. And he was teaching lordship.
Again, let my people go, that in my serve me, that you will have no other God beside you.
Many Christians have other gods.
All other gods. They are the ones of man. You are the only one. There is no other. And you have other gods.
And you are too touched for having a God that you be bound to. That's not what you are talking about. Don't be too touched for that one.
Now I have one image.
Worship you. You adore you.
You are too touched for that one. A God means, when you say idolatry, I'm going to look at that. Sometimes, some people with their career, their business. Many Christians are guilty of that. Many. You have now made your business the Lord of your life. That is, every other thing now revolves around you. The day you go on outreach, it's because you don't have work. The day you preach the gospel, it's because you are lazy. Again, Jesus is not the Lord, right? Right? Something else is Lord. You can get all the careers, all the degrees you want. You can't have degree up to a certain.
They laugh. You know?
Is that what I mean? 360.
I have the PhD, BSc, ODE, HIV. You know my talk?
Hallelujah.
That's a HIV degree.
Some people is their marriage. The marriage is now the Lord. I mean, you come to church when your wife feels like coming to church.
And sweetheart, shall not touch Lane.
Sweetheart, shall not touch.
Or you should be just rest. The mental is your rest.
Shame. You must have no other God beside you. That's the gospel. Again, now it's where I tell you what? Sometimes it has to be endured. That's where I tell you from, right? Right? That an healthy doctrine sometimes has to be endured. You know, sometimes you don't want to hear any kind of thing. Marriage. That your relationship. Out of 24 hours. 12 hours, we are thinking of again. A damn thing.
Yeah.
When we now marry. You are not married. What will now happen when you now marry?
Then when we now marry.
As we go to Egypt for honeymoon. Selah. Hallelujah. We go to Egypt for honeymoon. After Egypt. Galilee.
That's all the places that Jesus went to. No?
As true disciples, you must have no other God beside you. Jesus comes before your career. And I'm saying that again and again. Sound from outside, hey! Tell me to be teaching how to make money. 5 ways to sack your boss.
Yeah, I don't know that one. I don't know that one.
You got a boss.
Do I?
Eventually.
Alright, so, you know,
5 ways to sack your boss. How to become a millionaire in a day? Only here? In a day.
Now take gun now. That's the only way. Take gun. And go to Central Bank. When you come back, we use you. You'll be in the logo of Nigeria. Those forces will remove them. You'll be the one standing there forever.
Hallelujah. Jesus was not before a marriage. He must come before any other relationship. Again, how did he preach it? He said, he that will not prefer me before his father. And his mother. And even his own self says not worthy to be my disciple. That's what he said. That's what he said. Luke 14. You must prefer me before your father. Strong words. Strong words.
Well, that's the gospel.
Sometimes it's your thought pattern. Do you revolve the Lord in your thoughts? Do you esteem, or do you esteem money and the pleasures of this world? Again, if Jesus is Lord of your life, there's a way you will see this world. Many bow their knees. Their knees, rather. Why their heart is standing against God like this? What are you saying? And you're banging your knees. Say, Father, cause I have my knees. Bow your heart first. Bow your heart. Hallelujah. He must be Lord in your thoughts. Look at that Titus 2:12. Titus 2:11. Again. I'll close on this. Titus 2:11. Let's do 11 to 12. Together, everybody. I want everybody to wait for you.
Because I want everybody to read it.
Titus 2:11-12. Are you there now? Want to go? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all. Teaching us what? That denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hallelujah. It is the grace of God that appears to us. It has brought salvation. That's settled. That is what he's doing now. He's teaching us. He's teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's what we now learn in the grace of God in the gospel. He is teaching us to deny. Say deny. That word deny is a very strong word. Anelmai. A-R-N-E-O-N-A-I. A-R-N-E-O-N-A-I. That actually means to refuse to acknowledge. To refuse to accept. In a stronger breath. It will mean to disavow. You know what it means to disavow? You are not even reckoning with it. To disavow. To deny that you even know anything about it. He says, the grace of God has appeared to us. And what that grace of God is doing to us is teaching us to refuse something. He's teaching us to deny. He's teaching us not to acknowledge ungodliness and worldly lust. Ungodliness and worldly lust. So we are eating on the tree of life. We now refuse to accept worldly lust, worldly desire, worldly desires. Some believers, some Christians here have worldly desires. But Jesus is not yet Lord. You are in competition with the world, with a friend that is not even born again. You are doing who will do what first. You can't beat the world to itself. Those are things that you're supposed to know. You can't beat the world to its own thing. I'm not in competition with anyone. I'll never be. Then what? Okay, I'm going to go with myself. I'm not. I'm not going with anyone. I'm going with myself. I put myself up. The world is teaching us to deny what we lost, what we desire. There's a level of esteem that you must have for the things that perish. There's a level of chasing that you must do for silver and gold, because it will eventually perish. Look at that rich man. He said, I have everything. My barn is full. I need nothing. What happened? That very night. It means all you worked for, someone else is going to spend it. Someone is giving the illustration of Abacha. He's still sending Nigeria money today. You know? He just sent us $20 million. You know? Right from eight. He's still spending it. But when he was gathering it, the pleasures of this world, the riches of life, it will perish. There's a level of esteem. You can't be my friend. I think many people already know this. You can't be my friend if you so esteem material things because I don't have any regrets for you. You can't be my friend. You can't. We can't even be close. Those that talk about car. Yeah. As I went to that house. Hey, if you see the car, you can't be the one you are telling that one. Because my first question is what? Is the best thing you know? Is he even saved? You are still talking about your wedding. Was that on Thursday? Friday? Again, you don't have the carnal life. That would be my conclusion. So, me, I will be rich and I'll still serve God. I think that's where you're going to. What's your priority? That's it. I think I know where you're going to say, no, this issue is not in me. No, I'll serve God. But I will have the money. I'll calm down. You must play low on it. That I have issues with Christians when you say, I want to blow. I have an issue with it. I have a personal issue. I mean, you'll be stepping my face personally. If you are my friend, if you are not even alone, that doesn't even mean. Well, the moment you start using words like that, who is Lord? You know, I was a friend once, like, what would Jesus do? Many play glue on this, call these different things. But you know, we need to ask ourselves. Would Jesus have said, Thomas will blow? But Thomas, don't worry. You guys will soon blow. Out of this sound in your ears. Then Peter, thou art the rock. Upon this church, upon this rock, my church will blow. Maybe we use it for church business. Yeah, that church has blown me. What's that? Church blow? Ha! I was in lie. Hallelujah. Don't overestimate natural things. Cars, business, play low on it. Leave Egypt and its gold. You know, Jesus also rebuked that thought in Laodicea about it. Eh? The moment money becomes your satisfaction, something is wrong. That the moment money becomes that your satisfaction, something is wrong. Something vital has been lost. That means when you have money, you have to provide. Everybody that is beating you on the road, how far now? And the person you are fighting with, how far? I did. Because there's money in their car. Now, the moment there's no money, what you have left is how much now? 512 naira. Of which you will still remove their card maintainer. The card in your pocket, they will maintain it for you. They still remove it. Even if you win 1,000 souls, you are born again. Are you see? Let me preach to you. After getting saved, you are saved in Jesus. You have to be filled. Let's pray. You see? No, souls are not bringing joy again. If dollars and naira is what is bringing joy to you, you don't have true joy. You don't have true joy. The true joy is in Christ. It's called the joy of my salvation, or the joy of his salvation. Don't serve mammon. No, Jesus warned about it. Matthew 6:24. So you can't serve two masters. You can't be owned by two. It's either you serve God or you serve mammon. Mammon is God of money. The one who brings the coins sees that statistic. Either you serve God or you serve who is on 1,000 naira note again. Eh? Two people. Why? Well, Clementison and either you are serving God or you are serving Clementison. Some of you are at the site. I don't mention that. Once you see that note, hey, I worship you, command. When you don't have, everybody will know. They will know that you don't have something. You have to preach it for, but the way I give you, I mess for. I preach it for. They got saved. You know, you treat it like they got saved. But as you are saying they got saved, you know, it's Tampa, 88K, CR, not DR. Yay! They got saved. Four people got saved. Pastor. Jesus is not Lord. Something else is above him. So it says, we must refuse to accept worldly lust. Don't put yourself under pressure of marriage. Many people run. A peach race. Or a rat race. Or a lion race. All my mates are married. Calm down for the things of this world. All your mates are married. Are you sure? Some are dead though. Are you sure you don't want to be like this one still? Talk like everybody. This is the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all. And what that is now doing to us, he is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Worldly lust. Anyone who is impressed, listen, with so much worldly achievement, is not the Lord's disciple. I know that there are brothers who, see, not everyone that comes to church is a true Christian. Don't be saying that one. There's a brother that from the faith. Not everybody that goes to the garage is a mechanic. Abu? Some Christians, they see your tie. Tie, you know? No tie. Confirm shoes. As you pass like this, the glory, you know, the causes his fragrance, the spreads around in every place, the fragrance of his knowledge. So they call you, say, God, I'm feeling. Lord, oh wow, the Lord is good. So the Lord was not last week. Anyway, the Lord was bad last week, like no biker. Such person with such compliments is not a true disciple. Don't mistake that you call him bro, your colleagues. He's not a true disciple. He's not. A true mark, a true sign of a disciple of Christ is the way he is cautious with the things of this world. That's where I know. If I want to know a true disciple of Christ, I look at his caution. The way he's careful with the things of this world. Who was he careful? Some people, when they were not in a relationship, they were serving the Lord. People, when they got into one, they found one dancer.
where is a dancer, beautiful. Everything about you. You know the world will think around her now. You are not cautious. Because marriage is everywhere. There's no marriage in heaven. There's no marriage. Oh, yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Jobs here. And that's what some people kill themselves for. This present world. Not the cautious. The true disciple of the Lord. The parents caution around the things that belong to this world. So you have to be careful about it. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. There's the Lord in your life. There's the Lord in your thoughts. That is the gospel preached. The gospel that just takes you, that just pats your back. That is your ego. Every time. And there's not a priest like this. You say, this is you can enjoy your marriage. You preach next week. Prayer, there is no need. Your pastor is praying for you. Who's pastor? Who's pastor is praying for you? Your pastor is praying. He's always praying for you. So you don't have mouth. Who pray for each other than you? I'm praying for you. Who pray for me? Who's prayer machine? Hallelujah. We pray for each other. Hallelujah. Why you say pray for me? I may be delivered. You now say, I see that for you. Thanks for you. Always making a believer. Ah, it's both ways. Because my pastor is always praying for me. You are down. But I see that you don't pray. Why don't I start praying for you? Hallelujah. You have seen the things of this world, no. Play low on it. Play low on it. Play very low on it. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. You know, even though he was God, he thought it not to help us. He didn't act it. He didn't act that status. So, you should know and people should not know. How about that? Any church, I'm saying it, any church that gives preference to the rich above the poor is not the church of Christ. It's not. The church of Christ does not have rich and poor. We have saints. We have people who are now believed. We don't have people who will give front seats because of other what concerns the other like of this world. Hallelujah. We are all the young things in the church of God. So if you come here, you are the back. It's your staff. My name is your staff. That is a stupid staff. Stay next to the church. I'll go back to Abba. Maybe we'll be saying, this is the church of God. We must not extend the riches of this world. The pain, we want the mind that was in Christ to be easy. Be so bad. He says, he's teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And to what? To live what? To live so badly. Titus 2:12. To live so badly. Live so badly. All you know is people that make measure of money, they don't have money. Everything has 5 million naira in that pocket. So you know the God is working. Is working. Everything has 5 million naira that he has. So which word of God is working? We need people that have money. They don't make most of it. How do you know that? You know that much, how much? 200K. What's that? Chain, doctor. Everything shining. God told that king. Who is making billions of dollars? Is he wearing a red and a jean? Papas. Looking for how to make more. Yeah. You're meant to do money. K money. How much you have? A Christian. Very God, a Christian, because you're a gospel artist. That was your name. That's K money. Money. What is it saying? Gospel. Another gospel. K money. And the K spirit. K money. How much do you have? K money. You have K green. the bone is like with demon. The moment you attach the Christian faith to money, you are already wrong. Because money is of this world. You lose so badly about it. You lose so badly about it. You spend on us this year. Actually, if you observe, I've been teaching against that, right? If you watch, teaching against that. Don't put money. When you treat a believer over under believer because he has money, you are carnal. That's what James says in James chapter 2. You are carnal. The word of God has no preference of persons. You miss so badly about it. You miss so badly about worldly desires. If you are purchasing a PhD, you are pursuing it. Don't bring others in your games. But study your tongue as things. As a doctor, fuck yes. Like be a doctor, like be a carpenter. We are all brothers and sisters. Let it be like, you don't have a personal relationship with God. Our relationship is collective. We are all sons of God. Now are we. These are now are you. Now are we the sons of God. You don't really have a personal relationship with God. Nobody has God with God. But then that good morning spirit, deep spirit, and nothing. Nobody has a morning spirit in God. That is seen every morning. That's why we be sober. If there's anything that should undo you, the fact that you're not even God, that should undo you. That's not God, but not loud. What do you have that God to you? You have someone told it to you. He paid you. How about that? So you have this proud, the person that paid you, what should he be doing? Don't tell me this. There's nothing you have that was going to do to you. The car you came to buy, someone is manufacturing it, that's his own job. And that's what he does. You know how many of these he has? What is he crying about? The gospel teaches us in his lordship to be sober. Be sober. Be sober. You should have, and people should know where you are. You should not affect the way you now walk. Because when you don't have a job, you are praying like this. It's earthquake. Now, it's all about it. Yeah. You are love. What's it carrying? That's the prayer. You see, you're not okay. You need help. And then the man can see the way. Come on. Watch it. The gospel according to Jesus is the gospel that exalts him. It's the gospel that puts him first. Far above the riches of Egypt. He says, Moses despised the riches of Egypt. And endured as seeing him that is invisible. He despised the riches of Egypt. He was meant to be in the palace. He said, no. For the sake of Christ, for the sake of his work, for the sake of what God is doing on the earth, no, you're supposed to deny yourself. Opportunities that you could have gotten, but because you have to go on outreach, but because you have to push the gospel, but because God needs your hands, he needs your feet, he needs your lips. Sometimes you cry. The sacrifices your life have made. Some of us have made. Hey, sometimes you want to cry out. Say, you not the ministry. You not the ministry. But you know that's where the grace of God teaches us. You told Peter, what's with the nets? What's with the fishing nets? Leave this and follow me. It's a greater job. They never follow me. So that man says, go and sell it around. Again, the issue is priority. So, you think very well, that's why this one's like, go and put them together. Give it power. Follow Christ. Ask us to do your sessions. The gospel of Jesus has nothing to do with what you have in the natural. It has everything to do with your heart. Your heart, are you truly submissive in your heart? Are you a Christian by mouth? or in truth, in word and in deed. Just as serious questions. That place Jesus is learned, is it applicable in my life? Have I forsaken the pleasures of Egypt, the treasures of Egypt? Egypt and its gold. Have I left them behind? Or they are the ones in my face? When you wake up in the morning, what's your first thoughts? I make money or I win souls? How much do you should not make money? That's what I'm saying. What comes first? What is that drive? Are you comfortable? You have not preached in a day? Something is going wrong. I need a day. I didn't say a week. I said, well, you preach every day, right? Every day. Every day. I said, again, every day. Now you go 3 times a week, you feel like 10. Say, oh, wow. Every day. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Or is he still struggling in the background? Is he struggling to pay your attention? Or is the Lord of them? Just ask yourself some questions. Ask yourself if you have denied ungodliness. If you have denied godliness, and you have truly followed him. Don't just bow your heads this morning. Just say a word of prayer for yourself. Say a word of prayer for yourself.